1, 2, 3. Hi everyone, welcome back to Women Stories Podcast. I'm so excited to be back for this episode because we have a lot of things to talk about. We are going to talk about self-love, how to put yourself first, relationships, and today we have a very special guest. She's a speaker, podcaster. She created the podcast Living Your Juiciest Life. In the podcast, she has done many conversations with women who have gone from burnout to being on fire, from selfless to self-whole. So check her podcast on all podcast platforms. And she's also a health lifestyle coach and vocalist. So Kate, welcome to Women Stories Podcast.
Thank you, Kaula. Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm very excited to share your experience and your wisdom to the audience, because I think you have done many professions, and you had a lot of stressful situations, and I think your story is going to inspire a lot of people around. I want to start to talk about your location. So you are from Canada, right?
Yes.
So how Vancouver treating you right now?
Well, we're on Vancouver Island. So Vancouver is on the mainland. So the island has a different vibe than the rest of than the rest of the province and the rest of Canada. It's actually a... Interestingly enough, because I never really thought about this before we moved here, but it's kind of like the drug capital of Canada.
Okay.
The drug growing capital of Canada. Now that weed or marijuana is legalized, of course, it's much more in the open, but it's a pretty big industry. And I had no idea of that. Because I mean, that's something that I did when I was, in high school. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to experience it. So it's there's beautiful mountains, many places to hike and to adventure to be in the fresh air. We are, of course, an island, so we're surrounded by the ocean. Mm. So we have all of that. It's also a very big place for forestry, and they've cut down most of the ancient growth forest, the old growth forest. There's still a little bit left, but we have some of the biggest trees on the planet here.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I would love to come visit Canada one time. Okay.
Yeah. When you can get out of the country, right?
Yes. Yes. With all these crazy restrictions. I want to talk about your career, because it's interesting. You have done a lot of things. You have changed careers. I want to talk about your first career, which is helping people to heal and serve people. So how did you end up in that, in the body worker and coach. That industry, coach? Yeah. How did you end up in that?
That's a very interesting question, because that wasn't my first career.
Okay.
I worked in the hospitality industry for a long time, for many, many years. And the hospitality industry was the most like working for oneself, right? So it has that same mentality. If you can get somebody to fill for you, then you get to take the day off. But if you don't, too bad for you, you know? And so I did that for many years and played in all kinds of different areas that gave me the freedom. And I studied music during that time. I also ended up going to acting school and having a bit of an acting career, which was super fun, especially on stage. And that's the next level story. So when I was in that field, I was getting burnt out. And so I was seeking for what I wanted to do. I couldn't figure out who I wanted to be when I grew up. Mm. And the things that brought me the greatest joy, I never thought I could make money at them. So I said, well, I'll get a job so that I can make the money so that I can go and do what I want to do. Right. Just like so many people.
Does that work?
You know what? If you're going to be, it's so funny, because it was like, you know, I'm not going to go and pursue my joy. to be a broke artist mindset, right? Which is where it begins. Instead, I'll become a healer and be a broke healer. Anyway, until we change our mindset, nothing's going to change, regardless of what it is that we do, right? So it's it different. We have to look at the different perspectives of how we're seeing things. So anyway, I was getting burnt out of the restaurant business and felt sort of, I was working at a place that was really kind of an encouraging place for me to leave. And so I started to look at, you know, what are the things that matter to me? So what I boiled it down to is I wanted to continue to work with people. I wanted a path with a heart, and I wanted to help. And my way of communicating was through touch. So I ended up, through interesting connections, that I ended up looking at, of course, very alternative treatment, because I never did anything mainstream. So I ended up going to Shiatsu school. I was living on the West Coast at the time. And so I went to school in Vancouver. That's not on the island. And I had an amazing time and went through incredible healing myself. And then before I even finished school, one of the women that I went to school with was working in the film industry. And so she invited me. She said, I would love to have a business partner. You're pretty awesome. How would you like to go to work right away? And I'm like, sure, let's go. And so I started to work regularly in the film industry. So besides my private office practice, I also worked on film sets. And I never told a soul that I was an actress or a singer. I never let them know because I was so afraid that they would think that I was trying to take advantage of my situation for them, right, to help me. Because I never wanted to take advantage of any of that, realizing much later that would have been a really good idea to talk to them about what I did.
Yeah.
But anyway, so went, did that for many years and added many different healing modalities. And my business practice was always about health, wellness, and beauty. And it's an inside out, from the outside in to the inside out. It's all about you.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. But how do you manage to do all of this at once? I mean, it's very hard to manage all these kind of work at the same time.
I think I'd ask myself the same question when I think about it. 2 years ago, I was redoing my bio and I was never happy with what I created. And so I decided I'm going to Google how to write a bio. So I looked it up and it said, make a list of all the things you've done. And I started to make the list. And my husband was in the other room. And I was sitting in front of my computer and I started to cry. And he goes, what's wrong? I said, I'm looking at the list of all the things that I've done. And I'm recognizing how much of myself that I have dismissed as not enough value, as, you know, And it amazes me how, and I started reading him the list and he started laughing and he says, you've lived 5 lifetimes in one.
Yeah.
And when I started to recognize and acknowledge all of these things, I recognized that I had so much to bring to whatever it is that I would choose to put at the forefront, because all of these experiences, the stories are incredible. The experiences, some of them not being the greatest, and of course, some of them being life-changing in a positive way, and the wisdom that comes in all of that. And I was constantly seeking. I had this, this is a very common belief in women, is that we are not enough, that we're broken and that we need to be fixed. And so I was on this journey to fix myself. So I not only kept searching from a place of exploration in my artistic self, because really that was all, anything that is, that you could call an art was my thing.
Okay.
Right. The art of cooking, the art of organizing, the art of whatever it might be. And so, and I was grown, I grew up in music. I virtually came out of the womb singing. And so it was that exploration and seeking to figure out what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be. And so I would change jobs every 6 months because I never wanted to be in a place long enough where they could fire me. I would quit. Well, they still loved me. so I could get a good resume and carry on to the next, restaurant.
Okay. I really loved your hearing you, and you have said something interesting. You said that a lot of women think that there is something missing and we need to fix things. And you felt like you need to fix something. Do you feel that in your journey that you need to fix yourself, you thought was broken and need to be fixed?
Okay. So this leads into a really cool, I've come up with a talk that I want to bring forward, and I really want to bring groups of women this, because this is a really, really big deal. Is that men and women don't have the same brain. And of course everybody's heard this already, and there's different perspectives that we've heard. So from a female perspective, we've been given the gift of this wonderful global brain where we can be doing one thing, but we can have eyes in the back of our head if we have children. We can, you know, be cooking and knowing what it is that's going on around us. And so we're looking for danger, right? That's kind of a natural sort of thing. So this gift that we have of this awareness of where the kids are, right, at all times, or just this, you know, this multitasking. So it's a wonderful gift. But here's what I think happened. Somewhere along the line is that this became an internalized problem, because what you're doing when you're doing this is that it's your natural nature to nurture and to protect the nest. So you're on the lookout for problems, for issues, what's wrong with this picture, right? Which places you in that place where you're always looking for what's wrong. And then what happens is, who does it get directed against? You begin to always seek for what is not right in your own life. And then what happens is that because the world is a reflection of how it is that we're perceiving it, then our spouses, our partners get the brunt of that. The world gets the brunt of that. So when we're standing in that place of criticism, and if you hear a woman and that is speaking, and she's always in the place of calling out what is wrong or criticizing someone, you know that that is amplified back to herself. Right. So this hasn't really been acknowledged all that much. And so I recognized when I was living in Toronto, I lived in Toronto for 20 years. And when I was living in Toronto, which is Ontario, east side of Canada, when I was living there, it was a huge place for networking. There was always these business networking groups, and there were all these women's groups, not co-ed groups, women's groups. And then there were some men that were in the area, but it was like, we're women supporting women. And I'm like, no, you're not. Because until we recognize that this gift of a brain, we've turned into a weapon against ourselves first and to the rest of the world, we need to acknowledge. And that we have the power then, and only then, to change that. And the power is that we need to learn to love, first of all, ourselves. Because if we don't, we cannot receive love. We cannot receive the gift of all that the world has to bring us. Right? And we're in this critical state. So we then also blame the world for our position of whatever that is, no matter how good it is. We could always find something that's wrong with it. And so it's about retraining the brain. First of all, recognizing. Yeah. Well, and then people very often can respond, and I did as well in the beginning. It was like, what do you mean I don't love myself? Of course I love myself. And when we begin to look deeper and recognize our actions, our words, and how the world is showing up for us, and we start to do the work to see all of these things.
Yes.
By doing that, by that self-amplification of self-love, love self first, put your own oxygen mask on first, take care of yourself first, is not selfish. It is self-full, so that you can come from a place of fullness and generosity with no expectation of getting anything in return, because you don't need it. You don't have the illusion of needing it because you are full.
Yes, I do agree with you, because, but nowadays, self-love is a word that is overrated everywhere in social media. And it happened really fast.
Yeah.
But we don't really understand what does it mean to love ourselves first. Everybody does not understand that word. So could you could you explain it more, how someone can love themselves first, put themselves as a priority? So if you have like an experience to share, that would be really great for audience to know how they can love themselves first.
I think sometimes it's worth looking at the how it is that we're showing up first, because it shows us how that is not a space of self-love. Because self-love is a journey, and it's going to be a journey of a lifetime, right? So when we don't value, it makes it hard for us to put ourselves first. So let's just look at I'll use a story. I have a girlfriend that invited me out one day. We hadn't seen each other in a while, and invited me out for brunch one day. And I was like so excited, because I thought we're going to have this nice one-on-one time. And we were going to this lovely restaurant that we both love. And I was really looking forward to it. And she said, oh, I've invited so-and-so and so-and-so. And as well. And I went, oh. And in my mind, I said, I hope I don't end up sitting across from, and her name was Jeanette. I'm just making up a name. So, and her name was Jeanette. And I was like, well, I hope I don't sit across from her, because she's really negative. So who did I sit across from? Right. So I'm sitting there and we're having lunch, and it was such an amazing gift. It's such an amazing gift that I was sitting and listening to her with the criticism and the all of that. And I went, oh my goodness. I looked at her and I just said, because our criticism is a measure of what it is that we do to ourselves. Mm. So this is the first step of awareness of how we truly feel about ourselves. If we're standing in a place of constantly finding what's wrong in the world with another person, in a state of criticism, this is how we're treating ourselves, because we are a mirror. So that's the recognition. So I just looked at her and I said, you got to stop being so hard on yourself. And she broke out into tears. And she said, how did you know? And it wasn't a good space to get into the depth of it. And I said, because I know. Right? We can see it because we know it in ourselves. So self-love is difficult to understand, just like anything else that's an inside job, because we have been indoctrined into a world of plastic. We have been trained to beat ourselves into submission for fitness, and to lather ourselves with so much cosmetics that we absolutely change the way that we look. That being and looking like yourself is not okay. The fashion magazines with women that are this big. Movies with women that are this big. You know, there's no reality there. And yet it's been indoctrined into our own mind of how it is that we need to show up. And then our parents didn't know better. And so we learn from them how to be. And I honor my parents because they truly did the best that they could. And so at some point in time, we need to step up to ourselves. And so in the journey of self-love, my recognition, and it will be different for everyone, but my recognition was a bit by bit, has been a bit by bit process. And I still know, again, it's awareness. It's awareness. What is my language? You know, well, how am I not just speaking to myself, but how am I speaking to others? You know, and so it's a process for sure. And so always on social media, because it's this false place, right? I mean, everything, like nobody was talking about self-love. I started talking about love and then all of a sudden, ooh, look at that. It's happening everywhere. And it's awesome. But are they really talking about self-love, and how are people receiving it? Because if we see it from a narcissistic perspective, that's not love. You know, if we look at it as a surface job, you know, that's not it. So for example, if I put my makeup off on from one perspective of just, so let's just say I have a corporate job and I feel like I need to do this and I need to dress in a specific way to show up. When we dress nice and we dress in harmony with our colors and we take the time to do ourselves up, we always show up better. Now, when we do it from a place of self-love, we are paying attention and honoring this vessel that is carrying us through this life. So our physical being is a miracle. Like it's an absolutely incredible miracle. And it carries our spirit. So it's the spirit's home. So honor, kindness, gentleness is something that we have to nurture into our lives. And it's not easy. It is not an easy journey. And I've been coaching on that for a long time, that in relationship, because our relationships are also a reflection of where it is that we are. You know, my husband and I have the occasional, but really most of the time is an incredible vibration of love between us. And so that could not exist without self-love. And what people see love as often is if, and it's also been indoctrined into us, giving is more important than receiving. Well, if you're giving from an empty place, it's not. Because then what happens is that we're giving to get something. Right? We can always give from a place of full, no matter what that is, or we can give from a place of empty. And so when we are giving to get, which is a very, very common place for us as humankind to be at this time. And I think that there's been a positive shift over the last 2 years, but there's a really weird shift that's happened too. But that's a different conversation. And so in the space of self-love is so the act of self-love, to understand it, it really is what I was saying was it's kindness to self and remembering in our oneness, right? How we treat ourselves impacts those around us. Right? And giving to get, it leaves always a place of emptiness. If your closet is full and you're always shopping or always buying, there is a lack of self-love. Because there's an effort to feel better in the purchase, and it lasts how long? And not that it's not nice to shop. Of course it is. But is it, where is it coming from? You know, and where are my actions coming from? Where am I living from? So again, first step is always awareness. Was that helpful?
Yes, very helpful. And actually, okay. I want to add to that because our language is different. Some people have love in a different definition than others. And sometimes they'll say, well, you should help that person. He's your best friend. You should serve that person because out of love, you need to do this, this, this. But I think we do now understand to be aware of what love really is. Mm-hmm. And how we treat ourselves first and then helping others. So that is very important for people to know. I actually had a hard time to know what self-love is. I have a lot of...
Well, that's not uncommon. I didn't either.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends that say, well, you need to put yourself first, you need to put priorities first. But I didn't understand how I do it because... I grew up with in a family that did not teach me what does it mean to put yourself first.
No, nobody's family did.
Yeah.
And if they did, very often that was misunderstood.
Yes.
Right? Because then it can become very, everybody's journey is unique.
Yeah.
You know? So even if it was taught, would we really get it?
Yes. But at the end, we always learn from our experiences that how we learn lessons, I think. You have gone through a lot, so I want to know, how do you push through your worst times?
I think now is different than before, but before would have been I was from the exterior, very tough. And so how people perceived me was very different than the softness that I was on the inside. But so I would just push. Mm. I would keep on pushing and keep on pushing. And so as opposed to going with the flow and finding the right direction, I could just push myself way. I could push myself into the wrong direction, right? So when it's, and the obviousness that it wasn't the right direction wasn't even there. Okay. So in my life, in the darkest moments, I would cry, I would journal, I would pray, I would run away. We are artful as human beings to avoid things. Mm. So I think probably the thing that always brought me back to overcoming and maybe getting to the next place was because I just wanted to be better. Mm. And because of my, you know, even negativity can serve us so incredibly well to bring us to a positive place. In the negativity of my self, my beingness, I also had an incredible gift to always see the silver lining. Mm. So there was like this push me, pull you thing that was always going on. And sometimes the bad wolf would win and sometimes the good wolf would win, right? Because it's which, you know, you have two wolves, the white wolf and the black wolf. Well, which one wins the fight? It depends which one you feed. And I don't know that anybody's ever had a straightforward journey.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's like a quotation said, a successful person is another failure. If someone who failed many times to get to that destination.
Yeah. And I think that because, again, from a female perspective, is that we think that we're broken. When we mess up, we're so incredibly hard on ourselves. Yes. And so we try not to fail. Hmm. And that doesn't help us grow.
Yes. You know,
we try and make ourselves feel better with these false ideas. You know, it's like, oh, there's so many things that have been layered upon us. And it's wonderful. I mean, after the difficulty of the last 2 years, and through the difficulty of the last 2 years, many people have awakened to themselves, I think. And that is a true blessing.
Yes.
Because as we grow our light and we lock arms with other people that are growing their light, that is how we're going to change the world. We're not going to change it by fighting. We're not going to change it by trying to control, right? There's been in the powers that be, the art of division. For united we stand, divided we fall.
Yes.
We have to remember who the enemy is.
Yes.
And lock arms.
That's very interesting. I want to go back to your career, and you talked about you are a speaker, and you had also a stage fright experience. I would love to listen more about that.
Okay. So I sang everywhere all the time, probably from the time I was 2. And when I was about 16 years old, I ended up losing my voice in the middle of a song in a recital. And I ran from the stage, humiliated, in tears. And it was a teenage, you know, the teenage years, but I'd also been told to shut up a lot because I was really noisy. And we had a big family. So, you know, all of those things. And so then I would only sing if I'd had enough drinks to drink. Or I would sing by myself under the stars, a cappella. So I did learn to sing a cappella very well. I can hold a note, I can hold a key. So not just a note, but I can hold a key. And I still, like, my friends would, you know, we'd go somewhere and there'd be a live singer and be like, go up and sing with them. And it was terrible. They'd throw pennies at me. It was like, and then I was introduced to jazz. And it was a place in the wilderness, and we had something called Lost in the Woods Jazz Festival. And these jazz musicians came from Chicago, Illinois. Chicago is a big jazz city. And they came on sort of a working vacation. And so coming to that point, we would be listening to jazz on the stereo, and I was smitten. And then these musicians showed up and they dragged me up on stage one night to sing the blues, and I said, I can't sing the blues. But it was late at night and I'd had enough liquid courage. And I got up and I sang, and it was pretty awful. So and I was, you know, again, not in the condition of, but anyway, so I ended up, fast forward, I moved to Vancouver. And before I left where I originally came from, which is Winnipeg, Manitoba, and the prairies, I said, if I never sing on another stage again in my life, I have to learn this music. It touched my heart in a place, and I think it touched my pain. Because, you know, often it's such feeling music.
Yeah.
You know, it's heartbreak or sadness or, you know, whatever. And it just touched my heart so deeply that it gave me the drive. You know, when the dream is big enough, the facts don't count. And it was such an incredible gift. Because in that journey, there was so much that I'd experienced that I don't know if I ever would have experienced if I hadn't confronted that fear. So I moved to Vancouver. And I was working at a restaurant. There was a piano player, and I was okay to sing while I was working. As long as I wasn't on stage, it was all right. So I'd be like, la, 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 la. And one day this beautiful saxophone player came in, and she joined him, and she was playing the sax, and she heard me singing, and she stopped me and she said, what are you doing with your voice? I said, nothing. And she said, you should. So I ended up somewhere else on another night. I didn't work at that restaurant anymore. And I was invited to a jam session at a restaurant that was closed, that they opened because the manager was there. They opened not the restaurant, but just the space. And there was a piano player that was, his name is Eric Vaughn, actually played in Europe a lot. And he was there. And so he played the piano and I got up to sing. Again, I'd had enough liquid courage. And he said to me, he says, "You have a really nice voice." He said, "But you have absolutely no sense of time." I said, "What do I do about that?" Because, right, I'm open. I'm looking. I'm saying I want to learn, right? So he said, "Get a voice coach." And by serendipity, by grace, by the law of attraction, whatever you want to call it, I went back to that restaurant that I used to work at. And the woman that was only there once happened to be there that day. She gave me two names. One of the people that she gave me the name of, I met by serendipity in another bar, another time. It was within weeks of her giving me that name. And I didn't even realize it was the same person till later. And then the other person was a voice coach. So I then pursued that. And I pursued this other person who was actually had an a cappella course. He taught me a lot about reading music and understanding the emotional value of keys and all this kind of stuff. The other person gave me the emotional support and suggested that I go to acting school. So he gave me the emotional support. I eventually got on stage, scared out of my mind, but I was driven. Shaking, face red, I just kept on going. And I went to acting school, and my very first time there, sitting in the back of the room, in 5 minutes, my hand was up. I'm in. I have to do this. This is amazing. Because I felt like, and it didn't help my stage fright at all. Because in acting, I felt safe as if I was hiding behind a character. The truth is, if you're a good actor, you're being truthful. If you're being a bad actor, you're not being truthful.
Yeah.
Right. So it was an opportunity for me to try me on without fear.
Okay.
Which was really fun. And then I did thought field therapy. I did the hypnosis. And I had musicians, like we're talking world-class musicians, that encouraged me, that gave me opportunity, that lifted me up, that encouraged me. And I didn't see it at the time, how big it was. But now I can see it.
Yeah, but do you think because you just trust your gut and your instincts and you went with that and everything happened? Because
I was facing a fear, right? So I was driven. So there was desire. And I was going from, obviously I was going from my heart or I never would have made it. Right. So I did eventually get to the other side and I became a professional vocalist. And I did do some acting for a period of time. Okay. My favorite was stage acting. Now I think that experience helps me. It helps me to be a better entertainer because I also do. I'm also a Marilyn Monroe impersonator. So, okay. Yeah. And yeah. And so I believe that when you pursue something, and I have to say that there isn't anything in my life that I've ever pursued like that. And it was never about the money. It was because I needed to sing.
Yeah.
So for the audience that's listening, why why I teach self-love, owning your voice and claiming joy and stepping into who it is that you are, is because that is where our purpose lies. And do we need to be that 100% of the time? No, we can do it. We can do it on the side. But when we really get into that space of stepping into it, and regardless of what it looks like on the outside, to move forward, because there's so many gifts that will show up, and it makes life worth more than worth living. Yeah. And every time you do it, you change somebody's life.
Yeah. And that's right? Interesting. So, yeah. Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, that's a really full place of giving. Right? That's coming from a place of full. When you're living in the space of feeding your spirit, it makes giving easy.
Yes.
You know, so when you're giving from a place of empty and you in the business world, in all of the networking and the personal development, and they talked about giving more, it literally made me angry. Like, what am I supposed to do? Cut off my right arm? Like, seriously, I don't have anything left. Nothing. Like, and it's a constant affirmation of, you are not enough. You are more than enough. I am more than enough. But I'm only that when I'm living from taking care honestly, truthfully of myself first. Inside out.
Yeah.
Spirit first.
I'm very inspired by what you have done so far. So I want to know, how do you evaluate your own success?
What do we value? I don't know. I think if we can, again, I'm going to bring awareness into the light of it, right? Because we've been taught, again, to be so busy that we fall out of touch with who it is that we are, what it is that we love, what is it that we want, what is it that we truly want. You know, that we, it's kind of like being in a hurricane or a tornado all the time. And so at the end of the day, we either, you know, it's like a day isn't complete without how many glasses of wine or whatever our vice might be. You know, it may be eating, it may be drinking, it may be excessive television watching, which all, it's all about avoidance of self.
Yeah.
Right. And so evaluating success, I think, is really from a non-monetary standpoint, because again, that comes, if that's not flowing, then there's something in my mindset that's stopping it from flowing. But it's how joyful is my life? I think that's the truest measure. You know, I admire the European perspective on life. And I know that it doesn't exist in all places anymore, but the small villages in France showed me that first.
Yeah.
You know, that there was this quality of life, of people being together, celebrating each other, of people embracing each other. It wasn't about, you know, the big flash and all that sort of stuff, but it was the joie de vivre of, you know, just a different pace than the whole North America thing.
Yeah, actually, the mindset is very different. And even in France, also cities and other cities are very different in the mindset. So yes, everybody has a different kind of definition of success. But who comes to your mind when you think of the word successful?
Who would come to mind? I'm gonna have to get back to you on that one. I would say, and I can't name a name, but again, it's that person that has this fulfilled quality. Because really, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of being here if it's not for joy, for love, for inspiration? And we never learned that. Our parents didn't know how to teach us that. And I mean, I think that there was pieces. I know I remember great pieces in my own life that definitely were that. There was a sense of joy of living. And we need money. It's not to disregard that, not at all. So from a monetary standpoint, to be able to accomplish many things, we need the cash flow. But in the meantime, we can still live in a place of joy and fullness and work on that piece of life. But the most important thing, and the thing that gets disregarded the fastest, right? Like, how often would you leave your house without filling the car with gas? Where you would leave it parked on empty. And yet we do it to ourselves. You know, how often would we, I mean, anything? It's like that self. Like, I had a conversation with a client of mine this morning. We did a little coaching, of course, and it was, you know, why it, I just, I want to remind you this most important piece. You are a master at manifestation. Without your meditation, you're not living in that space. Meditation and prayer, to me, is the most important thing that we can do as human beings. And yet, what do? Oh, I need to figure out how to fit that in. Right? And understanding that it's never perfect, you know, oh, or if you're starting a new habit, you might forget, oh, right, I was making time for that. And we want to gently, with kindness, bring ourselves back to it. Because when we punish ourselves, does it help us do it? No. We have to make it enticing.
Yeah, actually, I want to share something with you because I was meditating today, and in the meditation practice, they said you need to go back to your younger self and ask your younger self one piece of advice they can give you. And that's very powerful because sometimes we are going through our life trying to get that cash flow, and we are distracted and we just lose our dreams and our hopes that we had when we were younger. And that really hit me, and I was very emotional about it because when I was young, I was always about singing, painting, playing around, and that spark and that fun has gone through the adulthood, through the journey. And I kind of relate what you're saying right now about not losing our truest identity and our also joy of what we needed really to do beside the cash flow.
And understanding that that creativity piece can fit in anything that you choose to be. So as long, because when you're showing up as your whole self, whatever it is that you choose to do with your time, it's just keep asking the questions. It's like, so what is possible for me in my life to bring this creative side, this painting piece, you know? Oh, you know, and ask, search, like ask questions. I have a girlfriend of mine that has a reignited her art self. She didn't totally leave it behind ever in her life, but she is now selling more paintings on Facebook than she does in gallery.
Yeah.
Right. So she's living it out.
Hmm.
And it gives her joy.
Yeah.
Right. So there's, we sometimes think we've been, again, so indoctrinated to believe that as a musician or an artist that we need to be broke.
Because it does not fit the society that we live in right now.
It doesn't fit in the mindset that was created.
Yeah.
That was either a mindset of learned memory passed on by generation, whether it's a mindset that was brought in this lifetime, whatever that is, it's a belief. But because you believe it, does it make it true?
Okay.
Right? So just because I believe it, does that make it true and right? And it's like, well, what if I chose a different belief? And then I started with a grain of mustard seed. And I planted that. And in the meantime, I'll go do this. But I'm really working on changing my mindset. So I'm going to plant that seed and I'm going to water that seed every day. And I'm going to spend the space and time for my meditation to create the dream. Because how we take the wave and turn it into particle is the process of making that more and more real. And people show up, ideas show up,
yes.
Opportunities show up. And so we have to, our biggest thing, this is what keeps coming up for me today, awareness and being in a place of presence so we can see the opportunities, we can see the miracles that are standing right in front of us and take them, receive them. Acknowledge them.
Yeah.
Those little things.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Nope, just those little things. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you could make a phone call to your 20-year-old self, what the piece of advice you could give to her?
Oh, I don't think I could tell my 20-year-old anything. You are more than enough. You are loved beyond anything that you can imagine. And anything that you imagine can come to be.
Yes. That's very beautiful. By manifestation. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are going to hit the final five questions for...
Five more.
Final five.
Let's make them short. Let's make the answer short this time.
And you can just respond by word if you want. So what's the best advice you have ever received?
Oh my. And what comes up again for me, I don't know why, but it's, you are more than enough.
Yeah.
You are a miracle. I say that at the end of my podcast all the time now.
That's amazing. And what's the worst advice you have ever received?
Oh. Gee. What is the worst advice I've ever received? Wow. Huh. You know, I'm like that person that it could rain for 40 days, and the next day when the sun comes out, I forget that it's rained.
Okay.
So maybe something will come up in the next minute or two.
Okay. What are the non-negotiable habits?
I do something for exercise every day.
Okay, great.
And my husband and I spend time almost every morning of the week reading or listening to something and having prayer together, prayer time together, and a naked hug.
That's the most important thing. What keeps you awake at night?
Not a lot.
Okay.
It's if I fill my brain with too much bad news,
yeah,
then that's when I don't sleep. Whether it's, and generally that would be off of the computer, not off the television. So.
Okay. And the final question, that's the easiest one. How people could find you and could find your services on social media and how they can contact you.
Well, my name is Kate Unger, and you can find me on Facebook that way, and you'll probably recognize me. LinkedIn, same name. Instagram, I think it's Kate_Unger. And all of those are possible. And they're easy. And I always do check my messages in my social media. So I'm in the middle of transforming my whole persona and my website at the present moment. I created kateunger.com, and I had that for a couple of, it never felt right. I don't know why. And it's not the name. I was just didn't want it to be. So my new website is actually called Living Your Juiciest Life.
Okay. Yeah. That's yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So if anybody wants to follow Kate, they can find her podcast, Living Your Juiciest Life.
And Living Your Juiciest Life Ever.
Ever. Okay.
Ever.
Don't forget the last word. And yes, check it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And yes, you can contact her right away on Instagram too. Thank you so much, Kate, for being here
Thank
and sharing
you.
Your wisdom. I really learned a lot about self-love and how to put ourselves first and how to manifest what we want and how to not lose sight of what we really need, what we really love, and not lose our identity too. So thank you for being here, and I would love to see you more out there with your new music and your new industry, and hope you're creating more things out there.
Thank you so much appreciated.